You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
The New York Mets not part of the postseason picture, but that does not mean there was any shortage of exciting moments for the Mets in the 2017 regular season. And to help us break it all down, our Mets beat reporter for MLB.com, Anthony DeComo. Anthony, we thank you for joining us today. And, you know, Anthony, as I alluded to, the Mets obviously not a postseason team. And, you know, anytime your mascot gets caught flipping the bird, it's a tough season. I mean, I think on that we can all agree. Given that, given some of the off-field issues that the Mets had, the injuries, obviously, to starting pitchers, it just was not their year, a year where they had a lot of promise heading into 2017, just didn't work out. But nonetheless, you and the other beat reporters submitted your top 10 lists for the top 10 moments of the teams that you cover. So when you kind of break that all down, just to name a couple, Yoenis Cespedes had a three-homer game against the Phillies back in early April. Jacob deGrom had some good outings, complete games. He won a career-high 15 games, one of the few starters that did not get hurt this year. Mets had that 16-inning win against Miami. Michael Conforto homered twice in Seattle, where he grew up. So when you look at the whole ball of wax, for your money, what was the most exciting moment of the Mets' 2017 season?
Yeah, I think, you know, as a Mets fan, it probably has to be one you didn't mention, and that was the day Dominic Smith debuted in Philadelphia and Ahmed Rosario wound up hitting a go-ahead home run in the ninth inning of that game. And it was one of the few moments on that list where you can look at it and you can say, okay, you know, we've got something good brewing here. We've got something that we can build on and that will help us next season. And I think that's, you know, for so much of this season, that was all the Mets had. They were effectively out of the playoff race early in the year. Really by June, July, they were totally out of it. And from that point on, it became what can we look forward to? What will help us here in 2018? And I think Ahmed Rosario in particular was a huge bright spot for the Mets. He played very well down the stretch. Had a couple of little minor injuries that kept him off the field at times, but overall, he was a very bright spot, and this team can look to him as its starting shortstop going forward and as an anchor of what it wants to be going forward. And you know, Dominic Smith didn't have quite as much success as Ahmed Rosario, but the pedigree is also there for him, and people are very excited about him and what he could potentially be in the future for this team. He will also have a chance to, you know, break camp with the team, be a starting position player for the team next year. So I think it all kind of coalesced that one night in Philadelphia when Smith came up and Rosario hit that big home run, and probably, you know, one of the brighter moments of the entire season for the Mets.
Yeah, and the night that you're referring to was August 11th. Like you said, Dominic Smith makes his debut. Ahmed Rosario hits the go-ahead home run in the late innings, and the Mets go on to beat the Phillies 7-6. And, Anthony, like you said, you know, Mets fans, without a lot to kind of latch on to for the current 2017 season, they kind of, you know, look to these young guys as beacons of hope for the future. At what point this season, though, did you kind of sense from the Mets fan base that, you know what, this is a lost cause right now, and we really have to start turning the page and building for the future and looking forward to the next season? Like, you know, like I said, at what point did you kind of sense the fan base made that transition?
Yeah, I don't know if there was a singular moment. You know, if you had to point to one, it would probably be, you know, they went into the All-Star break, and it certainly wasn't looking good, but there was a slim chance they could kind of play their way back into it, and they did. And that West Coast trip right off the All-Star break, the Mets wound up trading Lucas Duda when the team was in San Diego, and I think that was the first, kind of the first cannon shot that was, okay. In addition to it looking unrealistic, I think the front office is acknowledging that it's unrealistic. And, you know, that followed with trade of Addison Reed and eventually Neil Walker and Jay Bruce and Curtis Granderson followed out the door. And but, yeah, right after the All-Star break, that West Coast trip and that trade of Lucas Duda, I think it was the first day that it was almost like the first day that someone spoke out loud what everyone had been thinking, what everyone knew, that this team wasn't, for a myriad reasons, was not going to compete this year. And it was a weird clubhouse that day. Lucas Duda was in the clubhouse. He found out very shortly after it, very shortly before, actually, the clubhouse opened to media that he was going to be traded. And it was just kind of a quiet atmosphere in there. Everyone kind of knew, unspoken, what was going on. And that was kind of the first domino that fell. And July and August were all about those trades. And September was about, as I said earlier, about looking ahead, because so many of the guys that were key parts of the 2017 team are now gone. And, Lucas Duda isn't helping the Mets anymore. They have to go out and they have to look and they have to fill pieces from outside.
Yeah, as players are also often reminded in the harshest manner, this is a business at the end of the day. And to see these core guys, these veteran guys go to other teams, it's not easy because it's such a family atmosphere during the course of a season. You spend more time with your teammates than you do your actual families for 6-7 months of the year, and that's always got to be tough. Anthony, to kind of piggyback off of that, as somebody who has spent so much time with these guys, you know, before, during, after games, interviews and so forth, personally, who were you the most disappointed to see go from that group that you mentioned?
You know, by and large, it was a good group of guys that they did trade off and good solid players. Who was I most disappointed to see go? I mean, from a selfish perspective of someone who covers the team, I think Neil Walker and Curtis Granderson both were, you know, tremendous guys to cover. Really true professionals, the types of guys that make our job as sports writers, as journalists, easy. And I think certainly their role in the clubhouse was similar to that. Just the same respect and all that they afforded to us in the media, certainly they afforded to their teammates, and both of those guys were big clubhouse leaders. Jay Bruce and Addison Reed weren't around quite as long, but Lucas Tuta was a guy that I've covered since the day he came up. So that was an interesting one to see him go. Having covered his entire career from day one until the day he went to the Rays, it's always kind of weird when you see that happen. It's never easy for a team to go ahead and part ways with players that have helped them in the past. And by and large, a lot of those guys helped the Mets when they got to the World Series just 2 years ago. So it was kind of, in a way, almost the end of an era. But the Mets certainly wouldn't want me to phrase it that way, because they don't see this as an end of an era. They see this as a team that, while it has lost those veteran pieces, still very much wants to compete and still thinks that that window that first opened for them in 2015 is still open, despite the bad year here in 2017. So it was a weird summer with all of those trades, certainly, and it's never easy to go down that road, but it was something the Mets ultimately had to do.
Yeah, agreed on all points. And like you said, it was only 2 years ago that this team was playing for a world title. It seems like much longer, considering all the turnover, all the transition that this franchise has gone through since then. Anthony, getting back to the top 10 list, or maybe this was one that didn't make your top 10, but when you go back during the course of a season, what was, in your eyes, just a moment that simply shocked you and just knocked your socks off and something you just didn't see coming?
Something I just didn't see coming. The most, to me, the most shocking moment of the entire season happened way back in April, and that was April 30th. And that was after a week's worth of drama with Noah Syndergaard and having a little biceps tendonitis and having the arm feel a little cranky, and then ultimately refusing that MRI that now lives in infamy, going out, watching him pitch at Nationals Park and just all of a sudden throwing one pitch and coming up in pain and walking off the mound, and lo and behold, we didn't see him again until September. In a season that was filled with and defined by injuries, that was the biggest one, bar none. It's their best player, certainly at least their best pitcher, and they missed him for 5 months of the season because of an injury that, you know, if not could have been avoided, certainly could have been minimized if maybe he had gone in and taken that test and everyone had been a little more careful and checked their boxes and covered their bases a little better. So I think, you know, if you had to encapsulate the entire Mets 2017 season in one picture, it would be Noah Syndergaard walking off the field that day, kind of clutching at his arm. That was the Mets season. That was, you know, just typified everything that went wrong. And certainly, you know, you can never really see injuries coming, but that one in particular, I just didn't see coming. And it was kind of laid the groundwork for everything that came that came after.
Yeah, like you said, the MRI that wasn't the MRI that will you'll kind of go down in infamy in Mets history. But having said that, good to see that Thor came back late in the year, hitting triple digits. He looked like his old self, and hopefully he and DeGrom can be that 1-2 punch again at the top of that rotation in 2018. In terms of you know, people or personnel departing this team, obviously Terry Collins is on that list too. He will not come back in 2018, and I believe, if I have my facts correct, that he announced after the final or the next to last regular season game that he was not going to come back, if I have that right. But I know that some people kind of speculated that his days were numbered, but nonetheless, for a guy that has had a lot of success leading this team, you know, playoff appearances, a pennant, and so forth, was that shocking to you, or was that something you kind of saw coming?
No, the writing was on the wall here, and it was actually the last game that, you know, he came out after the game, and the news had broke by that point, but he announced his resignation. And, you know, the writing was on the wall. I don't think anyone around the team really expected him to be back. But, you know, what I say with regards to Terry Collins is that maybe things got a little uglier than it had to at the end, both certainly with the quality of what happened to this team on the field and also just with the way things were handled down the stretch. But I would hope that doesn't take away from what he accomplished and from what he meant to the franchise over 7 years as the manager. You know, Terry Collins was not without his flaws, but he also took this team from a place after the 2010 season where they were, you know, in no shape to compete. They were one of the worst teams in baseball, with one of the worst farm systems in baseball, and the future was bleak. And he was supposed to be, you know, the manager that just kind of helped them rebuild. And by the time they were ready to be good again, the general perception was that he would be gone. But he defied those expectations. He wound up taking them to the World Series. He has gone down as the longest tenured manager in Mets history, and certainly one of the most successful managers in Mets history. He's one of two guys to take them to the playoffs in back-to-back years. He's one of only a handful that has taken them to the World Series. So it was a successful tenure for Terry Collins, certainly, and I would hope with the perspective of a little time, fans can appreciate that. And in spite of certainly his flaws, which I won't ignore, you know, that he did a pretty good job here.
Yeah, he certainly did. And, of course, the end is never pretty for anybody in any profession, especially this one. But like you said, he did a lot of good things for the Mets for a number of years, and that should not go overlooked. Anthony, to wrap up here, to go outside of the Mets bubble, of course, as we're talking now, there are six teams still alive to be the 2017 World Series champions. It's going to be at least five by the end of this night as the Yankees and Indians play Game 5. It could be four if the Cubs finish things off right now against the Nationals. That game just underway. Give me your ideal World Series matchup right now. Just as a fan, what are the two teams you want to see in the Fall Classic?
Yeah, you know what? For me, it kind of has to be the Dodgers in the National League. They've been, you know, with the exception, obviously, of that big hiccup they had down in August, I believe it was August, you know, they've been the best team wire to wire. They deserve to be there, and anything can happen in the playoffs, but, you know, they looked pretty good in dispatching the Diamondbacks. So I'd like to see the Dodgers make the World Series. I think they're a good story. And certainly from a Mets perspective, there are some storylines there with, obviously, Justin Turner, Curtis Granderson getting traded there this year. There are some things of interest happening in Los Angeles for Mets fans. You know, for the American League, I would kind of say the same thing. I think the Indians were preseason favorites to win the American League. They haven't showed a whole lot to really show me that they're not still the favorites. And obviously the Yankees are giving them a tough series right now, and the Yankees might very well send them home tonight as we record this podcast. And if so, I would watch out for the Yankees, because Yankees Dodgers would be a pretty good matchup too in October. But ultimately, I think, you know, Dodgers Indians, that to me, those are the two best teams in baseball. And if you get a situation that actually happens more rarely than you think, with the two best teams in baseball facing each other in the World Series for all the marbles, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, absolutely. I think Yankees and Dodgers is the network executive's dream with the two markets, New York and L.A., obviously. But to see this Indians team make it again, they now have the longest active championship drought now that the Cubs are off that island. 1948, the last time the Tribe won it all. So Sign me up for Indians Dodgers as well. That's something I would love to see, but the Yankees might have something to say about that by the end of the night. Anthony DiComo, a pleasure as always. We'll do it again soon. In the meantime, Matt Wehmeyer signing off for MLB.com Extras, New York Mets.